You're listening to a podcast from Bayside Church International.
The Mansbridge family, Jenny just told me, preaching twice this morning. Later today, they actually start flying home after their weeks away. So that's very exciting. I'm sure the stories are going to be incredible as we hear more of what they've been doing. So they start flying home later today, probably land in Adelaide tomorrow sometime. So it'll be wonderful to see them again next week. While we are just talking about overseas, so Chad and Jay, if you don't know, have been in the Philippines ministering. Mercy ships. You would know that Mercy Ships is one of the causes dear to the heart of Bayside as a family. And starting this Tuesday night, just if any of you have Foxtel, this Tuesday night, it's at 7:30. It's on the National Geographic Channel. It'll be running for 8 weeks. It's a very recent documentary that they've done on Mercy Ships. It was actually the service in Benin, which was only just last year. There's the slightest of all slivery chances, if our daughter didn't end up on the cutting floor, that she might be in one of these episodes, because it's a service when she was there. So if you do have Foxtel, prioritise 7:30 if you can Tuesday, 8-week series. It'll be touching, I have no doubts whatsoever. Probably watch it with some tissues handy as well. So that's to do with Mercy Ships coming up. Next week is the fourth Sunday of the month. As we know in this house, we call it Food Sunday. So it's not about you bringing your Easter leftovers next week, but if you are in the supermarkets and you can buy some fresh groceries that you can bring along, and we'll have the table set up like we always do so that those food parcels can be distributed to those in our community, and we can be a blessing not only beyond our borders but a blessing within our local community as well. So that's next Sunday. If you can think, did everybody get an Easter egg? You missed out. It's shameful. Maybe we'll have a look later, or maybe the bucket can come again. If you are visiting from another church today, I hope that you have left your financial gift in your home church. If you are visiting and you don't go to church at all, please just be our guest this morning, okay? No pressure whatsoever. But I have a joke to go with our offering this morning, all right? And it's a cheeky joke, all right? So just loosen up and just tell yourself, yeah, I can take something cheeky on Easter Sunday, all right? Because it's cheeky. You can take it. Are you ready? Two men were marooned on a tiny island. One man paced backwards and forwards. He was wringing his hands. He was bald. So he wasn't pulling his hair out, but he was so distressed. What was going to happen? What was going to happen? Oh my, we're going to die on this island. He sounds more like a woman, doesn't he? It can be whatever gender helps you imagine this story, okay? Now, the other man, because there were two men marooned on this tiny island, the other man, he'd found something to lean against. I don't know if it was a tree or a boulder, whatever it is that you're picturing in your mind right now. The other man was just leaning against this thing. And he was feeling very relaxed. He was just enjoying the sun, wasn't too worried at all. So the first man says, "What is it with you? Aren't you worried we're going to die here? What have you missed? What's going on?" And the man's like, "No, I'm not worried. Not worried at all." "Well, why? Why is that? How can you not be worried?" And the man who was just very, very relaxed says, "I make $100,000 every month, and I tithe faithfully to my church. My pastor's going to find me." Okay. I'm glad you laughed. That wasn't too cheeky. I was a bit worried. Okay, let me share some scripture. Philippians 4, and it's Paul speaking. This is why we give. "My friends at Philippi, you remember what it was like when I started preaching the good news in Macedonia. After I left there, You were the only church that became my partner by giving blessings and by receiving them in return. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you helped me more than once. Verse 17 is the crux. This is the truth. I am not trying to get something from you, but I want you to receive the blessings that come from giving. As the buckets pass again, if you have come this morning to give, receive those blessings. Thank you. Rob?
So, my name's Rob. I'm part of the church here. Our pastor Chad, as you saw on the screen, or Pastor Chad and Jay, are in the Philippines, and they've been there for a while, and he was preaching at a massive conference, and then along with a few other people, they ran another conference, and preaching this weekend. So, and he's got the whole family. So you've got to say, you've got to actually be young to be able to handle a workload like that. If you get older, well, it means if you took your kids, they've probably got their kids as well. It gets a bit complicated. But that's where Chad and Jay go. And as you know, or you may not know, Bayside has this attitude that our borders just keep on extending it to other parts of the world, and the Philippines is a real example of that. There's been ministry going on there for years. And then when you look at the mercy ships, there's connection there in a very personal way, you know, family members and stuff like that. And there's other people from Victor Harbour who are on the mercy ship. So it's a pretty exciting thing. Well, I just want to read something before I really get into it. And this is from the Psalms. This is from Psalm 49, verse 4. By the way, I left my Bible somewhere yesterday. Well, I left it at an Easter camp. And so I'm using another one, but the print's smaller, so yeah, it's a good thing I can remember some stuff. And it says this, Psalm 49 verses, I don't know, 8 and 9. Redemption does not come so easily, for no one can pay enough. No one can ever pay enough to live forever and never see the grave. And then a verse or two later, and it's verse, oh, I don't know, 19, I think. Anyway, that'll do. It's close. Just read the psalm and you'll find it. But as for me, God will redeem my life. He will snatch me from the power of death. And that is why we're here today. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross, is risen. And we are alive because of that. Now, that is the good news of the gospel. That is worth a shout of praise. That is worth a shout of praise. I just love it that Chad goes away. He lets me up here on Easter. I just think that is awesome. He is so good to me, this Chad. From Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says this. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness he has poured out on us because we belong to his dearly beloved Son. He is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his Son and our sins are forgiven. It says it in here. So it's got to be real. It's got to be true. And I just do another amazing bit of out of the Word of God. And this is from Colossians chapter chapter 2, verse 12. And it says this. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. I'm going to read that again. But with him, you were raised to new life. Because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised him from the dead. Got the reading bit done. Well, wasn't our ministry, our worship team absolutely wonderful this morning? And just the way they blended the readings in with that, it was read so beautifully. I was just here at the front and I think, I'm starting to get blubbery here. I'm going to be a mess. I've still got to preach yet. And I know what I'm going to preach about. And there's no tissue box here either. I don't know where it's gone. Anyway, and Maureen's up the back shaking her head and saying, just get on with it. That's why she doesn't sit down the front anymore. And there's good reason for that why she's there. Now, some of you have probably heard this little story before, but I just need to tell it again. A little while ago, I rode my bike up to Goolwa. As you know, I ride a push bike, and I rode up to Goolwa, And then I decided, I'm going to ride out to High Marsh Island. So I rode up the top of the bridge. Have you ever, isn't that bridge amazing? You drive up there, it's really steep, and it just think, oh, you know, is this safe? You know, like you're just going up there and you can't see anything. Is this going to be safe? And I got up on the top and I looked around and I thought, wow, look at that. It was well before 7 o'clock in the morning. There was half light. There was these big chunky clouds, some of them low, some of them high, all different colours of grey. Some of them were angry and some weren't angry. And the river was just glassed out. It was, and there was mist coming off it, and there was mist and a little bit of fog in the distance, and everything's sort of like going from dark grey through to silver, and there's this pelican swimming along the river and leaving a wake behind. It's like it was swimming through liquid silver. It was like an animated movie, you know, really well done. And I'm going, wow. At that moment, I felt totally alive. Everything inside me was jumping. I was energized. I was active. My blood was pumping. The adrenaline was just going crazy. And I just felt so alive. Everything I could see momentarily belonged to me. Some of you have probably had experiences like that. And you know what I'm talking about. Folks, Easter is about that. Being alive. The cost for us to be alive in Christ, to know that we are truly human and yet we belong to God and our life means something and our life is going somewhere, we have the hope of eternity and somehow eternity grabs hold of us today. The cost of that is enormous. And at Easter, we re-experience, we remember and we celebrate what it means to be alive. And the cost for us to be alive. So today, it's Easter. And for most people in Victor Harbour and any other town around the place and overseas, Easter is about having a holiday, eating huge amounts of chocolate. Do you know, I'll tell you this now, in one of those little eggs, I learnt this on Sunrise, there's 100 calories. And you're thinking, you didn't need to tell me that. And some of you are thinking, I'm not going to, you know, eating too much chocolate. Our grandchildren had chocolate for breakfast. My son said, did you allow that when we were kids? More, he said, we probably did. It's probably not such a bad thing. Sometimes a slip in discipline, sometimes in those sorts of things, isn't so bad. You know, we are human. And I can guarantee that when Jesus was with his disciples and they were having a feed together, there was probably a lot of skylarking and I don't know if they had food fights, but you don't know, do you? You just don't know. You just imagine Peter and some of those guys. You know, you could imagine what could be going. You look, turn, you close your eyes to pray and someone swipe your flatbread or something. Anyway. And it's hot cross. Do you know, my daughter-in-law made this absolutely amazing thing out of 6 hot cross buns with eggs and butter and milk and a few other cream and stuff. Basically, she made a bread and butter pudding using hot cross buns. And it was amazing. I'm going to make one. I love that. That was absolutely terrific. It's holidays. So for people, this is what Easter is about. But Easter is this incredible declaration that we are totally loved by God. That's the bottom line. That is what Easter is about. And people will say, and there may be some of you that feel like this, I don't really quite get it, what it means to be loved by God. I don't quite get that. I don't really understand how much God can love me. I can't get my head around it. You know what? Don't try and get your head around it. Let your heart get around it. Because your heart can cope with this sort of stuff better than your head. If you are an intellectual person and you say, yeah, but that's not my personality, I'm an intellectual person, here's the trick. Access the other side of your personality. It's work, but you can do it. Okay. Okay. for us to know that we are so loved by God, to know that we're alive, there is a cost. And the cost is that Jesus, the Son of God, would suffer and die. And you know, we know this. And we need to keep on knowing it. And we need to keep on hearing it. And we need to freshly input it into our being, that it becomes something for us today. Not something we experienced a while back, but it's today. Yes, I am so totally loved by God who suffered and died for me through His Son. And I was thinking about Jesus at that Last Supper. I wonder what they did there. I've been to like a Passover meal, but I reckon their Passover meals were probably much more relaxed than the one I went to, and probably much more fun. When you get a family and friends, there would be serious stuff, but there'd be a lot of fun and enjoyment in that. But Jesus would have been there, and they probably would have been eating and skylarking, and they probably didn't notice straight away that Jesus every now and then was getting a bit thoughtful or getting a bit distant, and then he was coming back to them, sort of thing. For Jesus, he knew he was going away, and so he would have a sense of sadness and grief going through him at this point. He knew he'd be going away, and that he'd be leaving these guys who he'd been with for 3 years and he was so close to, and things would never, ever be the same again. Everything was going to change, and he was having to deal with that. At the same time, he knew that one of them was going to betray him. He knew another one was going to say he didn't know him, and he knew the lot were going to abandon him, and he knew it was going to happen soon. And so he's dealing with stuff. It was huge. And then he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's kneeling down there before the Father, praying his heart out, but his heart is breaking there in the garden. Intense emotion is just surging through his being, and his heart's breaking. And then Judas comes with the religious authorities and the temple guards, and they arrest him, and he betrays him. He hands him over. This is Judas. He's one of his 12 best friends. Think about that. One of his 12 best friends, and he betrays him. He's been with him for 3 years. And then Peter, who's even on the, I guess like a real bestie, so to speak, he's one of the inner circle, he says he doesn't know him. And how many times have we been betrayed by someone who we thought loved us and we love them, or someone who is really close to us just doesn't want to know us? And some of you have been hurt by that, and you are still being hurt by that. And today, this is the day you forgive that person. Before this service is finished, you need to look before God and say, today I forgive them. I need to be set free of the hurt from that. Because on the cross, you forgave me, Lord. So Jesus was having to deal with physical pain and emotional pain. Heartbreak. They take him, they abuse him, they insult him, they humiliate him, and they just basically demean him and put him down. And then they flog him. I've seen that many pictures of what flogging looks like, and it's awful. It's a whip with lead tips, and it'll rip your back open. And so they flogged him, they beat him up, they rammed a crown of thorns on his head, and they mocked him. So the pain that he was going through was awful. And then they made him carry his cross to the place of crucifixion. How demeaning, how degrading, how awful that is in itself. Then they nailed him to the cross, and then they just, without any care, would have hoisted that up and left him hanging there to die. People who were there were abusing him, they were jeering him, they were laughing at him and mocking him and making fun of this man, the perfect Son of God, dying on the cross. And his mother was there watching. I wonder what he thought about that. Work that one out. No, don't try and work that one. You can feel that. And friends were there, so some of them must have come back and they were watching that. So he's there on the cross. His heart is breaking. He's in pain. And then there's this sense that even God wasn't with him. You know, that cry of my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Why have you deserted me? Where are you? You know, people will say, it's like God turned his face. I don't know what was going on there, but for that moment, it's like God wasn't there. He was alone. He was alone. He was intensely alone. He was isolated. He was abandoned. He was in a place of desolation. And some of us actually understand a bit what that is like, because some of us have been in that place. And some of us today still could be in this place. Now, I want to tell you this. It was at that moment when Jesus cried out with that, in that sense of despair, that the power of that isolation in your life, that loneliness in your life, that despairing life, the power of that was broken. It was taken then on the cross at that point. You not only are forgiven, the power of all of that stuff that makes you feel that you're totally alone and isolated, that has been broken. And today is the day, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to take hold of what the resurrection is about and start living again. And so for Jesus, he died in pain and with a breaking heart. Sometimes when I read this stuff, and because you prepare messages around this, you really, really start thinking about it. And it starts really, it can mess you up. It really can. And those who are preachers here know what I'm talking about. And those who prepare stuff, and even when you're reading stuff, it just can get to you. You just think, those women, when they headed to the empty tomb, so they went there. And their hearts would have been breaking. They just would have been, emotionally, they would have just probably been going on automatic. They had some spices so they could anoint Jesus' body properly for burial. And they're just going there and to see what they could do and wondering how they're going to shift the stone. And they get there and the stone's rolled away. And Jesus is risen. He's alive. And we see those stories about how people are starting to try and get their head around Jesus being alive. The women and the disciples, and finally people start getting it that truly Jesus, the Son of God, who was crucified, is alive. He's risen. And this means that the power of sin is broken. That death no longer has the final say. Death has to wait. And Satan loses his authority. The powers of darkness have no say in your lives. They'll try and convince you that they do. But I want to tell you, if you're having trouble where those sorts of lies are coming to your life, they are lies. And the lies are being exposed. And the truth is that Jesus is risen and he has full authority and power. And if you have stuff going on in your life where you just feel like that you're being attacked by dark powers, the truth is that Jesus has the authority, not those lies that whisper in your mind and mess with your heart. Because Jesus is alive. So you're forgiven, and the resurrection confirms that you're forgiven. Look, the penalty for sin is death. And sometimes even us Christians have this thing, well, I really need to be probably more sorry than I am, and I really need this, and I probably need to do a few things just to make sure that God's happy with me and work it out, sort of thing. The fact is, he's done the work on the cross. He's paid the price on the cross, and you are forgiven. And if death is the penalty for sin, then if Jesus is risen alive, death has no longer the final say. And if death no longer has the final say, you ain't going to get death because you've sinned, because Jesus has taken the price and died for you, and you're forgiven. You're forgiven. So if you're feeling guilty about something today and you've taken it to God, stop beating yourself up. You're forgiven. You need to get that into your heart and go out here today with a bounce in your step, a gleam in your eye, and with Jesus by your side, thinking, this is so good. I'm forgiven. I'm off the hook because of him. And I'm not going back there again. I'm not going, but look. And so because of the cross, because of the price that was paid, because you are loved by God, I'm loved by God, because we're alive, we can say this to ourselves. I'm going to not think horrible thoughts about myself. I'm going to stop thinking horrible thoughts about myself. How many of us do that? You have full permission from the cross to say, no longer I think horrible thoughts about myself. I'm not ever, ever going to think I'm bad anymore. I'm not going to think that no one likes me. That is a lie. I'm going to be happy about the way I look. Jesus is absolutely happy about the way I look. I'm going to be happy about the way I look. And why? Because this awesome, awesome God has proved his love by suffering for us. And so we're alive and we have hope and we have the hope of eternal life. And there's mansions and there's streets of gold and there's glory and banquets, and it's just going to be an amazing time. And somehow some of that reaches back into our lives now and brings something of the hope of glory, the hope of eternity into our lives, where truly we're alive. Even in the lives we have to live, we're alive. And I know our lives aren't always easy. I know there are times in our lives that it is really tough and stressful and hard. But in all that, truly, we can be alive because of Jesus. Now, let me tell you this. I'm going to be closing up in a minute, so if you can just come and give me a bit of backup here, Mel. Give me some firepower. I was listening to this Vineyard pastor some time ago, and he was telling the story, a story that happened in the very early days of their church when they planted their church. It was in the early days of the Vineyard movement, when it was just sort of a thing where this movement just seemed to bust out from nowhere and just amazing things were happening. There were signs and wonders and there was miracles and people are turning to Jesus, and the whole style of doing church was rapidly changing, and they were developing strong theology to go under all of this sort of stuff. So it was just an amazing time. So this guy was typical of this. They'd planted their church and the church was just like going like a rocket. As I said, people were getting saved and people were getting healed. Demons were getting cast out. People were getting set free. Lives were getting transformed. They couldn't miss. They're like, they're bulletproof. You know, everything they touched was just going so amazingly well. And their church was just growing in an incredible way. Now, there's this woman. Just have one with you. And she contracted cancer. It was a terminal cancer. And she was told that she only had months to live. And so she was part of the church, and this pastor and his wife just ministered to her constantly. They'd go and visit her. They'd see her in hospital. They'd pray with her. They'd pray for healing. And they would love her. And they just really cared for her. And they really worked hard on this and putting themselves out to ensure this woman and her husband and her family were taken care of. And they would pray for her. And as time went by, her condition just got worse. And it got worse, and they just continued to pray, really believing that God was going to heal this woman. And so it came to a point where she was in the last days and they were still hoping for the miracle and believing for it. And she actually did die. And he was absolutely heartbroken. He was devastated. He was thinking, What didn't we do? What did we do wrong here? You know, we've seen miracles. We've seen so many people healed. We've seen this. We've seen that. And we've done all the things we do. And we've been trusting God. And he was devastated. You know, he was grieving over the loss of this friend. And the fact that they just let her and her husband and her family down. So eventually, he worked that through. And they got on with doing what they do in the church. A few months later, her husband comes around to see him And he sees him coming coming up the path, and he's thinking, I just don't want to see him. I just can't face him. You know, I let him down. I failed him. I let him down, and he's beating himself up. And so this guy comes in and he says, look, I really want to thank you for what you did for my wife. You know, I really want you to thank you for what you did for me and for my family. He says, but I failed you. I let you down. You know, it just didn't work. And he says, you don't understand. You don't understand. In those last few months, you and your wife loved my wife in an amazing way. She was more alive in those days than she'd been in a whole life. Now, I want to learn how to do that. I want to learn how to do that. Folks, it's like God is saying to us, you're forgiven. You're awesome. You're loved. And I want you to live life to the max. So he's alive. I'm alive. I think what we're going to do shortly, we're going to have a bit of worship, and we're going to go into communion. I'm not going to do a communion message, because that was the communion message. The real message, that was the real message. It was all one. So this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to stand, if you would. As I said, shortly, I'll just invite you to help yourself to communion. So this is where I just want things to lift a bit. And I'm going to say, he's alive. And then I'm going to say, I'm alive. Okay? And we're going to really just let that start rumbling from deep inside. So just let something just start to rumble inside you that just wants to burst out of your mouth in praise and thanksgiving. You got this? Are you getting this? I said, are you getting this? Okay. Are you ready for this? I'm going to count to three, and it's going to be he's alive, and then I'm alive. So are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this, Malky? Are you ready for this? Okay. One, two, three. He's alive! I'm alive! We're alive! Okay, let's just do that again, okay? That was the practice. That's warming up the vocal cords. Okay, one, two, three. He's alive! I'm alive! Amen. Hey, you got it, you got it. We're going to go into some worship. And just before we go to communion, I just got a couple of things I just want to say, and then that's what we're doing.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound.
This has been a podcast from Bayside Church International. Thanks for listening.